morning. Okay. Bring your entire family, even the weird ones, okay? Especially the weird ones. They'll fit in. All right, well, obviously, we are at the beginning of a series that Steve Carruthers and I are going to be on parenting. This is not to imply, I can't speak for Steve because he might have it all figured out. This is not to imply that I think that I do. But what this is really intended to be is a starting block, not a finishing block. We are encouraging you through this series to actively put yourself in a leadership role when it comes to your marriage. Because our experience, as we look at the world today, is that most people are very concerned about providing for their children, worried about food, education, happiness, their financial security. But they really don't care for the providers. And that is not what you're calling them. Your number one job as a parent is to lead them toward Christ. And that is not a passive activity, that is a very, very active and aggressive activity. So our goal here is to
have some fun. Our goal is to encourage you to get started, to do things that make you unpopular.
Because I promise you, if you do it right, you will be unpopular.
But it's also to let you know that there is a tremendous reward for those who do this right. Okay? So, first off, let's cover some quotes on parenting that I found. First one is, you don't really understand human nature unless you know why a child on a merry-go-round will wave at his parents every time he goes around. And his parents wave back. Before I got married, I had 6 theories about bringing up children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. It would seem that something which means poverty, disorder, and violence every single day should be avoided entirely. But the desire to beget children is a natural urge. That was from Phyllis Diller, by the way. Children are great comfort in your old age, and they help you reach it faster, too. The quickest way for a parent to get a child's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. Anybody else agree with that? Get on the phone or sit down and let OU be on the screen playing football. That's also a way to get some other people in your house that are females' attention, if you know what I mean. This is not a class on marriage yet. The thing that impresses me most, this is from Sir Edward, the Duke of Windsor. The thing that impresses me most about America is the way that parents obey their children. You know, that's really a sad statement. Because that is what I find to be very true in a lot of homes today. My father, who isn't here this morning, I don't know where they're at, they are visiting us, but probably he knows how bad my parenting skills are. He thought, I'm not going to go hear that hypocrisy. So anyhow, the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, a lot of parents in America today are very, very concerned about their children's happiness. My father told me several times as I grew up, son, your happiness is the least of my concerns because I cannot make you happy. And you know that's true. I find that to be more true in my career as I have worked with several people. People choose to be happy or choose not to be happy. That is a state of being. It is not a circumstance of your surroundings. Now, granted, a couple of weeks ago while Mr. Ike was visiting us, not many of us were happy on that Friday and Saturday. But that is a circumstance. Happiness or a state of happiness in your life is a choice of mental position, not something you can create for your children. And what I think the Duke of Windsor's statement really says is, we have gotten ourselves kind of backwards in this whole parenting thing where we have allowed the children to become the rulers of the house in many homes. We bounce ourselves around their schedules. It's not their fault, because how many of us won't take as much as we can get? And kids will put themselves in that position very quickly. So I found that quote to be very interesting. To bring up a child in the way he should go, travel that way yourself once in a while. So that was a great quote. We like to quote the scripture that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I think we all know that scripture. But I think that the most important part we forget about that is training is not Sunday morning time. Training is not school. Training is them being able to see how you lived your life and being able to have that luxury of saying, you know what, I don't know what to do in this situation, but I am confident that if I will just do what my dad or my mom would do in this situation, it will be right. You have the power to give your children the ability to base their decisions on your actions, because they're going to. You just have to decide if when they base that decision on your actions, is it the right decision? You see, the fact of the matter is they are learning. Unfortunately, they are watching everything you do. Are they learning what you want? It's not a matter of are you going to teach your kids. That's decided already. If they're around you, you're teaching. The problem is, are you teaching the right curriculum? It behooves a father to be blameless if he expects his child to be. And finally, if you want your children to keep their feet on the ground, put some responsibility on their shoulders. That's from Abigail Van Buren. The goal of this series is going to be able to, more than anything, encourage you to engage your mind and your spirit when it comes to parenting. We want you to have the confidence to lead in your homes. And the curriculum that we're going to go through is not some panacea that's going to fix all ills. We're going to give you some great books. We're going to give you some great authors to read. We're going to show you what the Bible has to say about parenting. But again, I want to stress, this is not a finish line. I want this to be a shotgun start for you. How many of you have no children? Raise your hand. Get a puppy, okay? It's easier. How many of you have very young children, say less than five? All your children in your home are less than five. Okay, there's still hope. There's still hope. Teenagers. Yeah, I know. There's still hope there, too. Because what I want to stress is the fact that we have the most awesome tool at our disposal that all of the psychologists out there cannot match. We have the Pentecostal distinctive of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives if we will choose to employ it. He is not a Sunday morning God. He is a Tuesday evening, room's dirty, disobedience just happened, insubordinate attitude has just been shown in your home. He's that Holy Spirit. And He will give you the wisdom on how to curb that attitude and also teach you how to exemplify what should be had. He's that God. And He is tremendously concerned with where your kids are. So real quick, I have a tradition in my class back there that we start off with some candy. So I've got a couple of trivia questions. How are we on time, Steve? Am I right on schedule?
Yeah.
Okay. Couple of real quick questions. I'll go too long if I'm not careful. Okay. For those of you who have little bitty children, this is for the dads. And I can't open the bag.
Childproof.
It's childproof. Thank you. I knew that was coming. Okay. Who knows the brand of formula your baby drinks? Infamil. High iron or low iron? There you go. There you go. And we're a healthy class. This is dark chocolate. Okay. Brand of baby wipes used. Who knows?
Cheapest.
Brand.
Second child.
What father here knows what brand of baby wipes?
That is so sad. Or your home's ran correctly and men don't change diapers there. I don't have a baby in my house. I don't take branded diapers. Pampers, what size? Don't hold his baby. Okay, well, obviously no air. We'll just give out some chocolate. What did you say? That's right. Renee will be dancing later again. So, okay. Just to give you a real quick rundown, then Steve's going to take over what we're going to be covering. Week 2 is going to be training your child to be good decision makers. Week 3, developing a parenting style that is practical and effective. Week 4, practical tips for dealing with power games. Week 5, too pooped to parent. I will be resting during that week as Steve teaches. Week 6, tackling the media monster. And week 7, when to have the dreaded but oh so necessary talk. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The talk your wife has to have with your children. Okay? So let's open in prayer real quick, and then Steve's going to be taking over. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the fact that your word is complete. It does not leave us ill-equipped for any situation. It says that it has everything we need for life and godliness. It says that he who's began a good work in us will see it through to its completion. So God, we pray that your word will be open to us, that our hearts will be fertile soil. And God, that this morning there'd be some great seed planted there and the encouragement to carry forward and do it your way. In your heavenly name, amen.
Thanks, Daryl. Like Daryl was mentioning, one of the main goals here is just to encourage you. Parenting's hard. Anybody think parenting's a breeze? It's real easy? It's tough, isn't it? And especially when you consider all the challenges you're going to have as a parent. Is that thunder? Is it another hurricane come through? But parenting's got a lot of challenges. I remember when Devette and I, we first got married, we were thinking about having kids. You know, you can start getting overwhelmed just by thinking about all the challenges that are gonna come your way. Thinking about TV shows and even billboards on the highway and the friends that they're going to get, and you know, is all this stuff going to work out? And at times you can just think, you know what, it's not even worth it. I'm just not going to have kids. You know, and if you do, you know, you can just throw your hands up and say, I give up. I don't know what to do. So we want to encourage you here. We want to tell you it's not hopeless. You can raise godly kids in today's worldly environment. It's not impossible. It is difficult. I'm not going to lie to you. But you can do it. And we want to give you encouragement, though, by showing you some practical tips, practical instruction based on the Bible for how to raise your kids. And we'll be getting into a lot of those practical tips as the week goes on, or as the series goes on, like Daryl mentioned, the topics that we're going to be talking about. Now, some of you may have been distracted from watching the video by watching Renee dance. So you may not have seen everything, all the words that were going on up there. But it finished with this one proverb that I think we're all familiar with. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. Everybody's heard that, right? You've heard that once or twice before, at least. Well, when I was a kid growing up, we heard this in the church a lot, but usually it was at prayer request time. And some older parent was requesting prayer for their adult child who had turned away from God. And boy, this, you know, the child, they were grown, they were an adult, they'd made their own decisions, their own choices, but they weren't living for God. They were living a very sinful life. And that parent was just clinging on to this verse with everything that they had, just hoping, please, please, God, do something and bring this child back. And although it got a lot of airtime during prayer request time, it didn't get a lot of airtime any other time in church, which seemed a little bit backwards to me. Maybe we should have focused on that scripture a little bit earlier so that we didn't have to bring it up so much during prayer request time. So I want to talk about this verse a little bit this morning. What does that mean? And are we really doing it? You know, I mentioned this before in church, that George Barna has come out with a statistic that's, to me at least, pretty startling. He's saying of kids who grow up in church, go to church on a weekly basis, they're fully aware of God, they understand things in the Bible, they've had the Bible stories taught to them. When they grow up, after going to church as kids every week, when they grow up, they move away from their parents, they've turned 18 or whatever, gone to college, whatever, they move away. Within that first 4 years of being away from their parents, 70% of those kids quit going to church. 7 out of 10. So if you say, if you consider here at Dominion, say we've got 50 kids showing up to youth on Wednesday night, 50 kids, 35 of those kids will quit going to church as soon as they move out of the house from their parents. I don't know about you, but that scares me. I don't want my two boys to be in that 35 category. I don't want them to be part of the 70%. I want them to stay with God. I don't want them to turn away. Now, some of those kids, will they come back? Will they come to their senses? Some of them, I hope, will. But wouldn't it be better if they never left in the first place? That's what we want to happen, right? We want them to just stay strong the whole way. So we need to look at this verse. What does it mean? And are we really following this proverb? I think it begins at the very start of this scripture. Train a child. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to Pastor Greg? Who's primary? He is talking to everybody. It takes everybody involved. But who's the primary responsibility here? Is it Pastor Greg? Pastor Clint? Pastor Paul? No. Is it your teachers at school? Certainly not. It's you, the parents. Right? It's us. It's parents. This is who this proverb is directed to. Think about the time that your kid spends in church every Sunday. You know, some of us, it's hard to get here on Wednesday night. Some people aren't always here for life groups Sunday morning. If your kid is getting 15, 30 minutes of instruction once a week in the ways of God, you think that's going to cut it? It's not. What if he went to school, he learned math for 30 minutes once a week? Would he learn much math? He wouldn't know what he's doing. You know, it's the same thing with God. We've got to be teaching our kids about God as parents. That's our responsibility. God has given you, the parent, the responsibility for training your children, and it's a big responsibility. But the good news is, studies have shown, believe this or not, parents still are the biggest influence in their kids' life. You may want to think that it's the media or school or their friends. Kids won't want to admit it, but it's true. Parents still are the biggest influence in your kids' life. So there is a lot of hope there for you. You just have to get involved, and we're going to show you how to do that. However, although you're the biggest influence, God has still made your children with a unique personality and a unique temperament. All right? Unique temper? No, unique temperament. And we read in Psalms 139, starting in verse 13, we read, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Each one of your children is unique. They're not a blank slate when they come out of the womb. They have a personality already. It's going to get developed as they grow. But obviously, what works for one kid may not work exactly the same way for another kid. And you, although you have a lot of influence, you can't direct everything in their life. You can guide them, but you can't force them to make the right decisions. So let's get into the next part. Train a child in the way he should go. What is the way that he should go? Well, Proverbs tells us there's two ways. It's pretty simple, the way of the fool or the way of the wise. And what's the way of the wise? How does that start? Proverbs tells us also that the wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. If you haven't instilled that in your children, then they're going to go the way of the fool. And obviously that's not the way we want our kids to go. We want them to go the way of the wise. We've got to instill that fear of the Lord. And unfortunately, it's not an easy formula. It'd be great if we could just say, hey, do step one, step two, step three, your kids are going to turn out great. It's easy as that. It's not that easy. It's more of an art than a science. There's no easy one-size-fit-all answer for everybody. Your kids are unique. Your families are unique. You have unique challenges. And so it's not as simple as saying this one thing is going to work for everybody. But I do want to tell you this. It'd be great if we could give our kids a list of do's and don'ts, just hand it to them and let them figure it out on their own. That's not the way that works. And Daryl was kind of mentioning it in his opening. teaching your kids, when you teach them, it's more, well, let me put it this way. Training your children, it's more caught than taught. You can tell them all kinds of great things, but if they see you living your life a different way, everything you tell them isn't going to make a difference to them. It won't mean anything at all. They won't remember it. They won't care. They're looking at you to see, how do you view God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you spending time in prayer? How do you treat other people? Do you treat them with courtesy and with respect and with love? Or are you selfish and self-centered? Do you backbite? Do you talk about people behind their backs? Kids are going to pick up on that kind of thing. You can tell them not to do that stuff, but if they see you doing it, they're going to end up doing it too. Okay, so let's show them the right way. Let's lead by an example. Remember the phrase, training your child, it's more caught than taught. So what does train a child mean? Well, train literally means to dedicate. And it's a lot more than just bringing your kid to church once a week on Sunday. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's some instruction for that at the beginning of the chapter on what to do. And I'll give you Steve's paraphrase version of that. It says, when you get up in the morning and when you go to bed, train your child in the ways of God. When you leave your house and when you come back, when you're at the workplace, when you're at the grocery store, when you're in your car, train your children in the ways of God. And there's plenty of opportunities. You know, I talk to my kids about when we see trees on the highway or birds or animals, we talk about God and how He created them. When you see billboards going down the interstate, there's probably some opportunities to talk to your kids about what God thinks about those kinds of things. How about when you're watching TV and you see those commercials? What about the shows you're watching and the things that people say on those shows? There's plenty of opportunities to talk to your kids about the ways of God. Look for those opportunities. There's plenty of teachable moments out there. So who is a child? Well, back when this was written, a child literally meant someone who had not reached the age of majority. What's that? Anybody have an idea? What's the age of majority in the Jewish culture in those days? How many years? 12. 12 years old. A child is anybody who's under 12 in these days. That doesn't give you much time, does it? That means you better get on the ball real quick here. If your kid's 3, 4, 5 years old and you haven't started training him, guess what? You're way, way, way behind. You better start moving fast because your kid's getting out in front of you before you know it. So train a child. That's somebody who hasn't reached the age of majority. The earlier you start, the better. You got to start when they're 1, when they're 2. Actually, from the day they're born, you need to start training them. I see parents who have kids that are 4 or 5, they haven't been taught any sort of discipline at all. And the parents are, well, he's not old enough to understand yet. They're old enough to understand. You need to get going. You know, we've all heard reports of parents who bring their teenagers to youth group and they hand them off to the youth pastor and say, I don't know what to do. Kid's out of control. You fix them. Okay, guess what? If your kid's 15, 16 years old and you haven't started doing anything, you've got a tough road ahead of you. You know, you're way, way behind. And don't expect the youth pastor to fix all your problems that you have been creating for the past 15, 16 years. You know, with God, all things are possible, but that doesn't excuse you from doing your responsibility as a parent. Most people develop their worldview by the time they're 12. That's why this proverb says train a child in the way that he should go. What's a worldview? That's their sense of right and wrong, their morals, their concept of God, their concept of how to treat other people. Those things are firmed up by the time they're 12. So we've got to get going on this really early. Some of you may be thinking, that's great, Steve, but my kid's 15. Now what do I do? Well, it's never too late to start, but it's never too early also. So get started today. There's no need to wait any longer. Now, some people want to know, all right, is there a money-back guarantee? If I do this thing, will it always work? Is there a guarantee on it? Well, let's talk about Proverbs for a second. Proverbs is a practical book dealing with the art of everyday living, and there's a lot of good instruction in it. One thing I like to do, and I highly recommend it to you, is pick a chapter of Proverbs to read every day. Find out what the calendar day is today. So what's today, the 28th? So you read chapter 28, okay, because there's 31 chapters in, I think it's 31, There's about one for every day in the book of Proverbs. So pick a chapter for that day and read it. And this is a great way of getting through Proverbs and getting them to stick in you. But a proverb is a brief statement of general truth. What does that mean? Well, that means it's not an ironclad promise, but rather it's a statement of probability. Okay? And this may be a new concept to you, so before you get the torches and the pitchforks out, let me explain what I mean by all this. You know, the Bible, I'm a believer, a very firm believer that God's Bible, that the Bible is God's inerrant word. It's infallible. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. But a proverb is a general truth. It's not an ironclad promise that always works. What do I mean by that? And do I have any examples? Yes, I do. Proverbs 12:21 says, "No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble." That's a general truth. But we can all think of exceptions where harm has fallen on the righteous, right? What about the apostles? Paul? How about Jesus? I would say being crucified is being harmed. And there was no one more righteous than him, right? So the Proverbs are general statements of truth, but they're not an ironclad promise without exceptions. There are exceptions to this. And it bothers me sometimes when people take this Proverbs 22:6 about training a child and they want to make it into an ironclad promise. There's a few negative implications of that. One is that children don't have free will. Well, we know that they do have free will. You can take the best parent, you can train your child, you can bring them to church, you can teach them when you're going in and out of your house and all of that stuff, but still God has given them the choice, a free will choice, to either choose to obey him or disobey him, to obey you or to disobey you. And you can't force them to follow God. You can't make that decision for them. We all can find exceptions of parents doing the right thing and yet their kids choose to make bad decisions later in life. That's life. But we also see the opposite. Parents who don't do anything right for their kids and yet the kids still somehow turn out great. You know, I don't know why that is, but it happens. You know, that's the mystery of God giving them a unique personality, a unique temperament. So people do have free will. The other negative implication is this, which disturbs me even more. What do you say to a parent then when their kid as an adult turns away from God? Well, if this is an ironclad promise, there's only one conclusion that can be made. Parent, this is all your fault. You didn't train your child. And the blame falls squarely on your shoulders. That's a lot of guilt to put on someone. And I don't think that that's necessary. So it's a general statement of truth. Okay, so we need to guide our children. We need to show them the way, put up some guardrails, point them in the right direction. We greatly increase their chances of getting to where they need to be. But they still have the choice to jump over those guardrails if they want and go their own direction. And that's life. So if you don't like my view, this is the view of people that you probably do respect, like Dr. James Dobson. Everybody heard of him? Okay, so it's not something I just made up. There's not a money-back guarantee, though, but that doesn't excuse us from doing our responsibility as parents of training up our children. We can't make their decisions for them, but we've got to do our part. And like Daryl said, our children are learning. Are you teaching? Are you being intentional about what you're teaching? What are you teaching them? We can talk to them all day long, and we should be talking to them, but if we're not showing them by example through our own lives, they're not going to learn the right kind of stuff. So what are we going to do? Let me talk about the upcoming weeks again. Daryl mentioned them quickly. Next week we're going to be training our children to be good decision makers. That's really what we want our kids to be in the end, isn't it? Okay, we can tell them in this situation do this and in that situation do that, but sooner or later they're going to come across situations you haven't talked to them about. And they've got to be able to figure out how to make the right decision on their own. Someday they're going to be out of the nest, and they've got to figure out how to do it. How do you get them from baby who can't make any decisions to a responsible adult who makes the right decisions? So next week we're going to be going through that. In 2 weeks, developing a parenting style that is practical and effective. Each kid's different. How are you going to figure out how to deal with this kid and how to deal with this other kid? week four, practical tips for dealing with power games. Anybody know what a power game is? Give me an example. Somebody give me an example of a power game. What do I mean by that? Okay, cleaning your room. Cheryl's right. Who's in charge? Power games are trying to figure out, it's a contest of wills. It's trying to figure out who is in charge. Kids do this from the time they're born until they leave the house and probably even after that. There's always this struggle for who's in charge. How come I have to go to bed right now? Why do I have to eat these green beans? I don't want to eat them, you know? I don't want to turn off the TV right now. I don't want to do this. I want to do this instead. You have these power games through the entire life of a kid. We're going to be talking about what those games are, how to handle them, how to get through those power games, how to show the child in a loving way that they're not in charge. You know, the parent is in charge. Week five, too poop to parent. How many of us have been there before? I think everybody has. You get home from work and you just don't want to deal with anything. You're just tired. And you want to say, you know what, I'm not even going to deal with that. You just, kids, do whatever you want to do. Turn on the TV and don't bother me. Okay? We get so busy that we don't have the energy to parent like we should. Week six, tackling the media monster. I don't think I can overstate this too much. The media is a monster. When you look at the shows that are on television, the movies that are out there, music that they listen to, books and magazines that your kids might read, things on the internet, you're getting it from all sides. The media is a monster. How are you going to deal with it? If you choose not to deal with it, you've lost the battle. You have got to be intentional about it. And then week seven, when to have the talk, and Daryl's going to handle that one. So your children are learning. Are you teaching? We have to be intentional about teaching our kids. If we just let life happen, then they're going to wander off in areas that we don't want them to go to. We have to be intentional about it. We need to set goals. We've got to develop a strategy for achieving those goals. We've got to set the right kind of goals. I'm not talking about I want my kid to be an NFL quarterback, or I want my kid to be a doctor. We're talking about goals like I want my children to treat other people with respect. I want them to be courteous. I want them to be polite and use manners. I want them to have a good work ethic and to be self-disciplined. Those are some good goals. How do you teach your kids to achieve those kinds of goals? Maybe we should start with, do we have those goals in our own life? Are those things that we are striving for? So you've got to set good goals. You've got to develop a strategy for how to get there. And finally, you've got to think ahead. If we're, too often times parents are just reactive. What is my kid doing right now and how am I going to react to that? We need to be thinking ahead of our children, getting ahead of them, figuring out what are they going to try to do in the future and developing a response for that before they get there, knowing how we're going to handle that situation before that situation comes up on us. Otherwise, if you're just reacting, once again, you're behind the game. So we got to get ahead of it. Parenting is intentional. It's not just reacting. It's not just letting life happen. It's about getting out there and saying, these are the goals I want my kid to achieve, and here's our game plan for getting there. If you've got no game plan, you're not going to get there. Daryl's going to close us up here.
One of the things that I am very fortunate to have in this series. All of you have not been privy to the conversations and the, 2,000 emails that Steve has sent in the course of getting ready for this series. But just to kind of give credence to what we're going to be doing here, we are blessed to have this guy taking it as serious as he does. Man, I tell you what, I am thoroughly impressed with the caliber of integrity and concern that he's bringing to this teaching. So this isn't something that's being thrown together. I want you to understand that we don't promote ourselves as experts on parenting. We want to show you where you can find the resources. And Steve is taking it extremely serious, and it's going to be some great information. unfortunately, a lot of parents, how many of you guys remember yard darts? Perhaps the most dangerous toy ever created by man. Here's a sharp object with a weight on the end. I'm going to toss this thing up in the air, and you stand underneath it and see if I hit the target, right? You know, it was impossible to really aim yard darts. Don't you agree? In fact, it became something that if there was a cat laying around, that became the target. Violent people that hate cats, I not being one of them. So, but you know what? What I've seen is a lot of people that I've talked to about their children, they parent like they're playing yard darts. They don't have a target. They don't really have anything they're aiming at. They're just throwing stuff at their kids, trying to get something to stick, but nothing's consistent. Nothing's a planned out procedure. In fact, that they want to have their kids on a roadmap to success. And many times what I find is that those parents don't have a roadmap for success in their own life. You see, you can't teach someone to live intentionally until you intentionally live yourself. So part of the teaching in this course is going to be helping you encourage, or helping you develop those same disciplines you want developed in your kids. It's critical because they will not learn from what you say. They will learn by what you do. So hopefully you can kind of go on this journey with us, getting those starting blocks. And man, when that gun sounds, I want us all to be running toward the same goal, the same prize that Paul talked about. And whenever we stand before the throne, I want us to have all of our family standing there with us. That's the only success we can accept. I got four Wittenbergs in my house. I want them all with me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you so much for the completeness of your word and the armor that you've given us to go into battle. Help us to be man and woman enough to take on the full armor of the Lord. Help us to know your word enough to be able to speak it back to the enemy when he attacks. Help us to have the discipline to live a home that will not put any wicked thing before our eyes. Help us to be compassionate enough to listen and not judge. And help us to be broken enough for our own kids that we will put their spiritual success ahead of our own fatigue. Let us live lives that make you proud. In your heavenly name, amen.